Jeremy Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Good afternoon. It's Tuesday, the 13th of October, and this is not Bill Buckmaster. This is Shelley Fishman sitting in for Bill Buckmaster, who is on vacation yet again up in Oregon and having a great time. I understand he's up at the Snake River, and just he and his bride are just doing wonderful things up there and sending back pictures, and that's really wonderful. So I'm sitting in for Bill today. I'm thrilled to be doing it. It's a Tuesday and the market isn't tanking, so that's a good thing. Usually on Tuesdays when I'm here, the market finds a way to go really negative on us, and today it's not doing that. In fact, we've had probably the best week, 2 weeks in a very long time. We will have our regular market update at the bottom half of the hour. For the first half hour, however, we are very honored to have Dr. Matt Hines with us. Dr. Hines is a physician here in town. He's also running for Congressional District 2 in the Democratic primary. But Dr. Hines has a background working at the Department of Health and Human Services, where he coordinated the efforts for the Ebola virus response and also for the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. And it's in that capacity that I wanted to spend some time with you and with him this afternoon, talking about healthcare, talking about the Affordable Care Act, talking about, you know, maybe some of the things we've heard about it that are true, maybe not true, maybe some of the things that if we could ever get the Dems and the Republicans kind of talking to each other instead of throwing things at each other, that we could do to maybe make it a little bit better. And so that's the first half hour. And then in the last 15 minutes of the show, we have probably one of the essential Tucsonans and Southern Arizonans in the world. Hank Amos, who's the president and CEO of Tucson Realty and Trust, is going to give us his view of the economy here in Tucson. So you'll get my view of the U.S. and world economy in the second half, and then we'll switch to Southern Arizona. But right now, let's talk to Dr. Matt Hines. Matt, how you doing?
Great, Shelley. Good to be here.
Good. So you're running for Congress.
I am.
Again.
I am. Second time's a charm.
Second time's a charm. Yeah. Okay. We've had you on the show before. We've had you on the show in the capacity of a state legislator and right. I guess the minority whip. Mm-hmm. But now you're running to go back to Washington.
I am.
Back to D.C. And so the only question I'm going to ask you about that is, why in the world would anybody want to do that?
You sound like a lot of my colleagues and my parents and family. And, you know, it's so important to have folks there that want to solve problems. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I do every day for my patients. You know, I don't care if they're Democrats or Republicans. I want to make sure that we fix their heart attack or take care of their stroke or stop the bleeding or, you know, and that's we talk in a multidisciplinary way. We talk with a lot of folks to make sure that those patients get the help that they need. And I really don't see that happening in Washington. And I was there for a couple of years, so I saw it really up close. And so I think knowing a lot about a system and what's working and what isn't helps you to become a part of it and to fix it. And so that's the way I want to approach problem solving for Southern Arizona.
Okay. And I'm sure we'll be hearing more from you about your candidacy. It's a two-person race, I guess, for the Democratic nomination.
That's right. That's right.
Victoria Steele.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that Bill Buckmaster has had her on. I should remind everybody that this is talk radio and it's call-in radio. If you've got questions for me or for Dr. Hines, the Buckmaster Live line is 790-2040. We'd be glad to take your call. So let's get started. We do have a caller already, but we haven't asked any questions or really talked about any subjects. Let's just talk a little bit about the primary purpose, or one of the primary purposes of the healthcare law, which was to reduce the per capita costs of healthcare in the United States. We know that in the rest of the industrialized world, the costs of healthcare are running in the area of about 12%, maybe 11% of GDP. Here in the U.S., that number is higher. It's about 19%. And that makes us very non-competitive in the world.
Absolutely.
So how will the Affordable Care Act, or how is the Affordable Care Act, beginning to make a dent in that number and bring us back down to where we want to be?
Yeah, that's a great question, and one of the key, you know, ideas behind it, and you know, it's still pretty early, and a lot of the economic assessments are ongoing. But what we can definitely see is that just by reducing the number of people who are uninsured, which the Affordable Care Act has done through Medicaid expansion and through providing those lower cost affordable options to have private health care through the exchanges, through the marketplaces. Those two mechanisms to reduce uninsured population has actually had quite there's been an effect there, and we've seen that just alone in our hospitals. For example, you can see the amount of dollars that hospitals are having to spend on uncompensated care or caring for folks who are unable to afford their care has gone down dramatically just in the past couple of years, directly as a result of getting additional people covered. That's huge.
Yeah, and we should point out that when people need medical care, whether they're insured or not,
they get it.
In the past and certainly in the present, they get it.
Right.
So somebody is always paying that bill.
We are all paying for it.
Exactly.
It's just, we can't see it directly. It's not an invoice sent to you, but the hospital has to charge you more for your blood work, for example, to pay for my blood work if I don't have insurance.
Precisely. So that when you have more people insured and theoretically, therefore, their costs are being covered in a more orderly way, and they're getting medical care that they might not have gotten until they needed it desperately rather than in advance. That has the effect of bringing down overall costs.
Right, and you're keyed in on something really important. Really having a medical home, getting folks insurance, and educating people about how the healthcare insurance works, and you should have a primary care provider of some kind, and you should go to them for problems before they go out of control to the point where you need to go to the ER, where care is often delayed and very expensive.
And very expensive, and that's one of the keys economically. Here in the first segment of the show, we have a caller. Matthew is on the line, and I think he wants to talk about the Temporary Assist Families Program. Matthew, welcome to the Buckmaster Show.
Oh, hey, I really appreciate you stepping in for Bill Shelley. You're a good guy, all of you, for helping him out while he's on vacation. Dr. Hines, while I appreciate Shelley's research about the Affordable Care Act and all those issues, one issue that is driving me right now, and since you're a congressional candidate, is the fact that the state of Arizona is going to be one of the few states to take put a limitation on Arizona's neediest and poorest families by cutting them off after 1 year on TANF, the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families. And what that's going to do to every nonprofit that already is overloaded with needy families throughout the state coming to them to supplement their food sources is really upsetting, because not only is this going to, this is not just a food issue.
Matthew, I need you to ask a question so that we can kind of get on.
Yeah, I will. Okay, it's an economic issue, and I hope you're following that issue. And if you aren't, in today's Phoenix Business Journal under Needy Families. Thank you. So I was hoping you'd discuss TANF. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Matthew.
Great question, Matthew. And I absolutely oppose that kind of limitation being placed. And from the federal perspective, I would be interested in looking at ways to prevent that or incentivize states against doing that. And I think that Shelley can probably back me up that one of the surest ways to help bolster a local economy is to provide that kind of assistance, where those funds have to be used in your local grocery store or in the area,
absolutely,
in the community. And that's one of the best ways to do it. So limiting that is really, you know, kind of shooting ourselves in the foot.
Especially here in southern Arizona,
exactly,
where we have such a large population of needy people.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just in the state, I think we're number five in the country.
And per capita, we're not talking about tens of thousands of dollars of, like, you know, shipments of lobster going to feed people. We're talking about like $100, $120, $150 a month.
Right. There are exceptions, and people can always point to the exception of a person buying caviar with food stamps.
I've never seen that myself. Right. But you know, if you eliminate the entire program because there's one bad actor, exactly. you really just ruin the system for everyone.
Earlier, you mentioned Medicare and Medicaid.
Yes.
And the fact that the Affordable Care Act is in part acting through the Medicaid program. And of course, there was some
Correct.
Controversy about that here in the state, but we are signed up for that now.
For now.
What percentage, right, what percentage of the people newly insured under the Affordable Care Act are Medicaid? And does it matter? Why does that matter? Why does that figure so uniquely stand out?
Medicaid, of course, there's 51 different programs, every state plus Washington, D.C. Oh, excuse me, in Puerto Rico as well. So giving a national number is very difficult and not, I think, as meaningful as looking at it by state, for example, because a state like Texas and a state like Florida, two of the places where the most uninsured people are, chose not to expand their Medicaid program. So we're kind of comparing apples to, you know, it doesn't make sense. But within Arizona, approximately 500,000 people have health care coverage that they've acquired through the Affordable Care Act. And it's about 300,000 of those are through the Medicaid program, so through Access. And the other 200,000 approximately are through one of the options through the marketplace.
Right. We've heard that about 13 million people have been signed up under Obamacare for insurance who would not have had insurance in the past. Approximately, do we know what number of those people are in Medicaid and what number of those people are not?
I think that probably some of the folks at HHS who are still at HHS, because I'm not any longer, have the like up to the minute or up to the month information. But it is a moving target in terms of it's approximately 50-50.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
So Arizona is not an outlier in that respect.
No, there's a little bit more on the Medicaid side, but then when you average in states that didn't do the Medicaid expansion, it kind of brings it back the other
okay.
way.
We're going to come back and speak some more with Dr. Hines. We're going to talk a little bit more about the effect of the Obamacare Act, the Affordable Care Act, and what might need to be changed or modified a little bit. We're going to take this break, and then we'll be right back.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
What's the wildest event in Tucson? ZooSon. Join Reed Park Zoo for a night of fun, food, entertainment, and auctions at the 22nd annual ZooSon, presented by Casino del Sol Resort. Come and be a part of this incredible event with us on October 16th at 6 p.m. Experience tastings from over 25 Tucson restaurants, live music, entertainment, specialty drinks, and zoo animal encounters. All proceeds directly benefit the Reed Park Zoo. For tickets and more information, visit reedparkzoo.org.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Sometimes opportunity knocks. You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a one-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Well, we're back live here in the studio. This is Shelley Fishman filling in for Bill Buckmaster, who's on vacation. I'm here with Dr. Matt Hines. We're talking about the Affordable Care Act, and we're talking about the effect on the economy that the Affordable Care Act is having, and the effect on individuals as well. I remind you that the Buckmaster Live Line is 790-2040 if you've got questions for Dr. Hines. And I'd like to continue the discussion we just kind of brushed on a little bit. Before the break, we talk about the fact that the Affordable Care Act is certainly not perfect, that nothing in this world really is.
Of course.
And that what we really need to do is find a way for a consensus to come together on the things that can be changed and maybe made better. But let's talk about some of those things, as well as some of the things that we hear kind of in the periphery that may or may not be true. For mm-hmm. instance, do you know of any businesses with 49 people who haven't gone to 50?
I honestly don't. The claims being made by detractors that are still there, I'd love to see the data, and I don't. No one has presented that. There's anecdotal one business in the middle of Oklahoma. This happened. I don't know. You know, but I don't see the studies that really bear out what is being stated about the impact, the horrible impact on businesses. I do hear from individual business owners who actually say, thank goodness for this. I have 5 employees and 10 employees, and I can now get healthcare coverage for the first time ever. And because there's a credit to do so, we can hire 2 more people.
Right.
You know, I do hear those stories,
right.
But
I've also heard some stories about businesses that were providing healthcare for their employees. And because those employees are now guaranteed to get insurance coverage,
right.
Regardless of pre-existing conditions, they can be sent to the Affordable Care Act site to buy their own insurance and have the business compensate them some other ways.
Right.
And they can make the choice as individuals what level of coverage they want.
That's fine too. And it really actually helps with professional mobility, because maybe you don't want to have a 40 or 50 hour or 60 hour a week job right. with one entity for, you know, 45 years of your working life. Maybe you want to have 2 or 3 things going on at once, but maybe you want to go to school part-time and work part-time. Well, you can do that now without a fear of losing your healthcare insurance, because you will always have an option through healthcare.gov.
So as an individual, it really increases your ability to be free.
Absolutely. Write a book. Start a business.
I got it. There are a couple of things that have been talked about within the act that might potentially need to be revised. Let's talk about this medical equipment tax for a second.
Sure.
Is that something you're familiar with?
Oh, yeah.
What do you think? Is it a good idea or a bad idea?
You know, they of course, to pay for things, we have to there has to be an assessment somewhere. And a huge portion of the Affordable Care Act, the subsidies that help make it affordable and also that help with the Medicaid expansion, actually come from a tax on those who make more than $500,000 or $1 million a year, an assessment at that level. And there are a few other ones like the one that you mentioned. When you start pulling them out and getting rid of them, which a certain subsection of special interest would like to have happen, then you start undermining that law's ability to pay for itself, and it becomes harder to justify the savings, because actually the Affordable Care Act generates considerable savings long term. So, you know, we can look at any of these, but you have to be able to replace that somewhere else.
Right. And in the case of the equipment tax, it is equally applied across the board so that no one company, a larger company versus a smaller company, is unduly advantaged or disadvantaged.
Correct. It's equitable in that way, and that's, I think, really important. But that industry obviously would prefer not to have that, and that's why you're hearing a lot about it.
Right. What about the insurance companies and the hospitals? How are they doing under the Affordable Care Act? You would think that they would both be big fans of the act, because
they are.
A lot of the problems that they had in the past have been kind of resolved, or at least in the process of being resolved, as a result of more people being insured and the emergency rooms not being burdened down with so many people who can't pay or who shouldn't be there.
Well, and that's two different. So you have it's quite a boon to the insurance industry, because the Affordable Care Act marketplaces are all private. It's public money helps to make private plans cheaper for us to choose, right? So that industry is doing pretty well as a result of this. And hospitals, who face just billions and billions of dollars annually in these uncompensated care costs, like we talked about before, paying for folks who can't pay for themselves, that has dropped considerably, 40 and 50% in some places.
Right. And yet we're hearing stories about especially rural hospitals being somehow adversely affected through the CARE Act.
Well, for some, it was just unfortunately a little bit too late, or there were other factors. For example, the hospital in Douglas closed, and now that community of 25,000 people on the border no longer
right.
has an emergency department, for now at least. And so that there were other issues there too, but those are the kinds of things that yes, our rural community hospitals are still going to be at some risk, because they're just so small. And often the payer mix, meaning those who have insurance and those who don't, even with the Affordable Care Act, is still relatively adverse.
Because of the communities, that the demographics
yeah, I mean,
of the communities.
If you're in a rural area, you're more likely to lack health insurance or health insurance options. Now, you now have the options, thankfully, but we have to get that message out to everyone.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about a small hospital because I'm curious about it, and I think it's a new hospital down in Green Valley, and you work there.
I do.
How's it doing?
It's doing really well. It's only, I think, 3 months? I'm 3 or 4 months old. It's just opened its doors, kind of getting off the ground. But it's a great great community and really great people. It's been really nice working there. I do night shifts down there, so I'm just recovering from one right now, actually. If I stop making sense, just kind of poke me.
You're making perfect sense.
Good. It's a great facility, and I still, of course, work at the Tucson Medical Center as well. But it's really nice to kind of help this hospital get off the ground and to serve a different part of the community.
Okay. So do you have any feel for the trend in insurance rates, partly as a result of the Affordable Care Act, but also partly as a result of just in general trying to get medical care costs under control?
Sure. And the medical inflation continues to be at a relatively very low point overall. The premium increases, every year the premiums are going to adjust a little bit.
Sure.
They had been in the 8, 10, 12, 15 or higher percent range historically. This
right.
is pre-2013, leading up to the implementation of the law. And now, they've been anywhere in the 1 1-3% range.
We're hearing horror stories of 30% and 40%. Where does that come from?
I mean, those horror stories were happening in, you know, Anthem Blue Cross of California.
That's
what I remember. That from 2010, 2012. You know, like year to year, your employers would just flip out because they now have to find out how do they deal with 36% increase. No, the Affordable Care Act is actually in many ways preventing those things from happening.
Okay. I thought so, but, yeah. But I wanted to check with somebody who really knows.
And when... there's kind of like blows the doors off everything, so it opens it up for it's a transparency issue. People just get a letter and, oh my gosh, 36% increase is crazy. Now, as they're like calculating and estimating and doing the actuarial analysis for these rates, they have to tell the public. There's like a public vetting period required by this law now that lets us know if an insurance company is going to jack up their rates 10% or 20%, they have to tell us about it and defend it to the public. And that's why those huge high rate increases, you don't really see that anymore.
Okay. That's great. We're going to switch gears in the interest of shameless self-promotion. How's your campaign going and how can people see about the campaign and contact you?
Oh, it's going really well. You know, it's early, but you know, these things are the way we have, unfortunately, in this country, arranged for our campaigns to work. They're expensive, and it's a very competitive race, and so a lot of people are very interested. But you can get more information at heinzforarizona.com. That's just like my name, like the ketchup, heinzforarizona.com. And you know, we welcome supporters to check out that site and offer any comments. You can sign up to get my emails, which I'm told by one of our former elected officials are not terrible. And we can, of course, always unsubscribe if you don't like them.
That's great. Dr. Heinz, Matt, thank you for being here. Thanks for sharing your experience and your wisdom about healthcare. Good luck on the campaign
trail. Thank you, sir.
Stay safe.
Will do.
And this is Shelley Fishman sitting in for Bill Buckmaster. We'll be back after these messages with my forecast for the fourth quarter.
Did you know that most men die from preventable illnesses, or they simply accept many health conditions as part of getting older? That's why Tucson urologists formed Epic Health, a clinic designed just for men. In just 15 minutes, you can get a free screening worth $1,600 that looks at simple testosterone levels, vitamin deficiencies, various cancers, and a lot more. Epic Health is located at Grant and Swan and Crossroads East by Outback Steakhouse. Call 448-0401. Real doctors, real medicine, Epic Health. Men's healthcare, evolved.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Discipline and drive aren't on the shelf at the corner store. They're a part of who you are and the business you're building. We get it. That's why Cox Business and Inc. magazine invite you to attend Get Started Tucson. Join us for this free one-day live event Thursday, November 5th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Scottish Rite Cathedral in Tucson. This is your chance to network with other innovators and entrepreneurs, to learn from experts on how to secure funding, and to watch contest finalists pitch their big idea for a prize package worth thousands. Visit coxblue.com/getstartedtucson to reserve your spot. It's free to attend with complimentary drinks and hors d'oeuvres. Don't miss Get Started Tucson, presented by Cox Business and Inc. magazine. It's Thursday, November 5th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Scottish Rite Cathedral in Tucson. RSVP today at coxblue.com/getstartedtucson.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
And we're back live. This is Shelley Fishman sitting in for Bill Buckmaster. And we've got this great producer engineer who I look at for the, you know, during the show. And I would just like to thank Mr. Alexander for all he does and for what he does well. Thanks again. It's Tuesday, and as a result, the market's down a little bit because it's Tuesday. Not bad, really, considering how robust the market's been over the past week or so. Let's do a quick third quarter wrap-up of where the market's been in the third quarter and how it's compared in the third quarter to the past 12 months. If we take a look at, for instance, taxable bonds, they were down 1.4% in the third quarter and down less than 1% year to date, but for the past 12 months. General stock funds, again, we're talking about bonds here, down almost 8% in the quarter, down 1.1% 12 months. And international stocks down about 10% in the past quarter and down about 7.8% over the past 12 months. So you can see that the past 12 months have been difficult for investors, and that has made some people very skittish. I recommend the quarterly reports that show up at the end of each quarter in the New York Times or in the Wall Street Journal. I think this past Sunday in the New York Times, they did their mutual funds and ETFs review and gave a quarter-end review, and they had a great article in that section called "The Ease of Index Funds Comes with Risk." And I'm going to talk about that a little bit before we go to our last segment with Hank Amos from Tucson Realty and Trust. But let's take a look at the quarter to come. And for the fourth quarter of this year, I'm kind of bullish. I'm thinking that even though we're a little bit south of where we started the year in the Dow, I'm looking for 4 to 8% gain by the end of the year. That's down a little bit from where I was most of the year, saying 6 to 10%. If you take a look at the S&P, I'm still at 6 and 10%. I think somewhere between 6 and 10% is going to be our gain for the year. I don't think the market is going to go south on us, at least not this year. I think that what the Fed does is going to be very, very important. But it's likely that there will be a very small increase in interest rates in December. If they don't do that, they'll do it early in 2016. I think it's already baked into the market. When you take a look at overall economic growth for the year, we had a first quarter that at first looked to be down for the quarter. It turned out that it was actually a small growth. It was less than 1% when it was finally revised. And the second quarter was recently revised up to almost 4%. I think it was revised to 3.7%. Given the third and fourth quarter activity that we're seeing, I'm looking for a GDP growth for the year at somewhere north of 3%, just north of 3%. That would be in line with the traditional GDP growth averages over the past 50 or 60 years. So that would not indicate a very weak economy or a very strong economy one way or the other. It would indicate steadiness. And if we get there in a straight line, that'd be great. If we get there in ups and downs and ups and downs, that won't be so great. So we'll see what third quarter corporate results, which are coming out this week and next week, look like. And that'll give us some indication of what corporations are doing. We know, for instance, that the automotive corporations are doing very, very well. We've had some other sectors not doing so well. We've seen some pretty good movement in real estate over the year. However, we've seen, for instance, slowdowns in areas that have been traditionally high performers, such as healthcare, biotech, and high tech. So the past 12 months have not been kind there. Unemployment is sitting at 5.1% right now, and I think what we're going to see is that tick down, just one tick, by the end of the year, down to about 5%. But as people are very, very quick to point out, that unemployment number is kind of the guide that we have used traditionally, and it only represents those people who are in the workforce who are actively looking for work. The people who have either dropped out or retired or aren't in the workforce aren't measured. That number is close to 40% of the workforce right now, and that's traditionally higher than what we've seen over the past several decades. The question is, why is the percentage of people working and actively in the workforce as low as it is, and why has that number not recovered? It has recovered somewhat. It went from about 13% down to about 10%. But it's still, when you take a look at the gross numbers, the number of people who have kind of dropped out and have either decided to retire or decided not to look for work, that is a very high number, and it's alarming. So what we're going to do next week on this regular segment, we're going to talk about that number and what the components of the number are. But for now, in terms of the fourth quarter, we're going to look at a forecast of unemployment about 5%. Very quickly, before we're joined by Hank Amos, let's take a look at something that I have pushed and been talking about on this show for a very long time, and that's index funds. It's called passive investing, where you don't pick stocks, or you don't hire an investment manager, a big fund manager, to pick what stocks are in your portfolio, but you rather buy funds that are tracking an index. And that has become very, very popular over the past decade. As a matter of fact, we're seeing that almost 30% of the investment in funds in general in the U.S. markets are now being invested in index funds. And what that means is that the need for active management in the managers of those funds becomes minimized. And so all you do is you pick an index like the S&P 500 or the Dow Industrial or the Russell 2000, and you track that index. And whichever way that index goes, that's the way your portfolio goes. And of course, there are thousands of indices, and there are lots and lots of ways that you can invest in those indices. We can say one thing for sure, which is very rare in this business, saying anything for sure, is that you will never beat the index. We can also say that you'll never lag the index because your fund is, in fact, tracking the index. However, there are some cons besides those pros. The pros are you get better diversification. There's no need to pick stocks. The problems, however, are that very often the index gets bloated by some of the winners, and the losers drop out of the index. So that what happens is that the index doesn't actually reflect very well the total segment of the population of that funnel, that in for instance, healthcare or foreign sovereign debt or any one of those segments of the economy. And because the indexes don't represent the full spectrum of equities available in those funnels, you might have an inflated view in your portfolio. And then when there is, as there always is, a correction, your index will correct more than the general population of stocks within what would normally be part of that funnel or industrial segment. So there are some clear warnings that you have to be very careful of. Yes, investing in indices does give you a broad diversification, but it's not everything that it's sometimes cracked up to be. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to take a look at not the broad national or worldwide economy. We're going to take a look at Southern Arizona and Tucson, and we're going to do it with one of the guys who's a legend and an absolutely irreplaceable asset in Tucson, with Hank Amos.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
La cucaracha, la cucaracha. Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. Not a very good singer, am I? But you know what? Cockroaches aren't a pleasant subject, and we had them. And I called my friend Shelby Hawkins over at Five Star Termite and Pest Control, and guess what? No more cockroaches. Adios, cucaracha. Hasta mañana. No más.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Hi, and we're back live. This is Shelley Fishman sitting in for Bill Buckmaster, and we're running a little bit late, so I don't want to spend a lot of time introducing Hank Amos. If Tucson didn't have Hank Amos, we'd have to invent him. He's one of the absolute treasures in our economy, and he's on the live line with us. Hank, how are you?
Fine. Good afternoon.
Thank you for calling in. Sorry, we're a little bit late. Hank, how are we doing down here in Southern Arizona? How's the economy, and how does it look for the future?
Well, I think we can be doing a lot better. I'll just kind of give a brief brush and then tell you what I think we need to do. Overall, the residential market's kind of picking up. Unit sales are up about 16%. Total sales volume's up almost 19% over last year. So that's good, and that's going to help our economy because we're a real estate-driven economy. And when the residential market's doing better, then the builders are building more, and you get the tradesmen, and they're taking more space, and more jobs are kind of coming in. But up until now, that hasn't been the case. But what's worse is that we're just not attracting the companies and the manufacturers and the folks to come here that brings those jobs. And it all comes down to what I think is the governance of Tucson. We've had this no-growth policy. We're known around the country as the city of no. When you take a look at some of the things where Tucson is now, and I want to contrast them to where we were, you'll get the picture. So right now, the city of Tucson is the fifth poorest city in the United States. It has a poverty rate of 74% higher than the national average. It ranks 92 out of 100 cities as the worst city in the U.S. for small business. It ranked as the second least recession-recovered city in the country to recover from the recent recession. It's the number one city in Arizona for violent crimes, as reported by the FBI. Employment and earnings ranks 145 out of 150 in the United States and 147 for economic environment. It's the number one worst city to find a job, according to Forbes magazine. It ranks 131 out of 150 in the U.S. as neediest. It ranked fifth for the worst roads in the U.S. and ranked 62 out of 64 large cities for growth. Then you take in the fact that there's $230 million that kind of disappeared for Rio Nuevo. They botched the Grand Canyon move. We're talking about the city council. They mishandled the downtown homeless while we're showcasing Tucson during the Gym and Mineral Show. We had to get the mayor and some of the city council members to force them to support Davis Monthan because they weren't coming out visibly early. So supporting them, because if DM leaves, it's a death blow to the community. So we have a really important election coming up, and right now we need to make a statement. And the most important thing that we can do for our city to have better roads, better jobs, better wages, and all that, is that we have to have a change in leadership. And it's not about Democrats. It's not about Republicans. The guys over there who are serving on the city council are nice folks, but they're not getting the job. Because you can you contrast that to where we were in the mid-'80s, when we were on everyone's top five list. I mean, we were top five for fastest growing cities in the United States, top five best place to do business, top five best tech city, top five best place to live. And you look where we are today. So it's just not working. And we had a change in leadership back in the late 80s, and that mindset's been here. They had a different view of where Tucson should go, and we need to change it. And the message that I like to get out to everybody listening is that you have to vote, and you have to get out to vote. You have to tell your friends and your family to vote. Early mail ballots are coming in, and my suggestion is that we need to change the entire city council. You know, keep Jonathan Rothschild in. I think he's trying really hard. He's our mayor. You know, let's go with him. But we need to change the city council, and you need to get out and vote. And that's the only thing that we can do, is to get that, get new leadership with a better vision, and we'll all be better off for it. And that's my recommendation if we want to have a better economy. Otherwise, we're going to continue to spiral.
Hank, could you give me a couple of specifics in what you think, regardless of who's on the city council, what they could be doing to improve the attractiveness of Tucson to business inward movement, and some things that could make us more business friendly? My perception is that the past couple of years we've seen some real improvements, but statistically we're still down at the bottom.
Well, the problem is, Sheldon, that I work with companies that want to, relocate here. I mean, that's far and few between. And I've talked to corporate relocators, and they don't even offer Tucson anymore because they know of the politics that we have, right? And they say, your politics are a mess. You're known as the city of no. It's very difficult to get permits and to do things here. So we don't even serve you up. So I think we just have to have, the best thing that we can do is to have a whole new attitude and say, hey, look, we're open for business. We want you. We're the city of yes. What do you need? And have more of a Texas attitude on how we're going to do things moving forward. And that message will get out. But we're not there. I mean, I look and, I tell people, where we were in the 80s. And it's amazing. We were neck and neck back then with Austin for top-tier companies relocating here. We had the headquarters to all the arts. We do not have that now. We had all the major music concerts come to Tucson, spring baseball training, AAA baseball, women and men's pro golf tournaments, professional tennis like Davis Cup, pro bowling. We had more five-star restaurants in our city than any city in the Southwest. It's all evaporated. It's gone. And it's because of our leadership. So we want a better economy. We need to have a change in our leadership, and we need to do it now. And I'm encouraging everybody, I'm asking everybody to get out and vote, and tell your friends and family to get out and vote, and let's make a change, and it'll be better. It can't get any worse.
Again, my perception is that things have gotten better over the past year. But give me some specifics. Do you think it's just leadership, Hank, or are there some things? For instance, I mean, we live in Arizona, and Arizona's had some problems in attracting business. We went from number one or number two in the country down to number 48th or 49th. So doesn't some of that kind of rub off on us?
Well, I would say that after a while, I mean, your community picks up your reputation, and that's the reputation that we have. Do I think that some things have gotten a little bit better? Yes, but we're talking over a period of time, and you look at the decisions that are made consistently, they're not great decisions. And you look at where we were and where we are today. You can't just say, oh, the last 6 months have gotten better. Because in some cases it hasn't.
This has been going down as long as I've lived here, and that's back in 1988 is when I came here, and it's very, very alarming. I I hear what you're saying. I think that you're expressing a very real sentiment, and I know it's been expressed, and it's been expressed, you know, at the city council and with mayor. I wish we had some real specifics that we could say, look, instead of doing what you're doing, this is what you ought to be doing. And I fully support your call that everybody needs to get out, vote their conscience, vote the positions, and just help make this place a better place to live. Hank, I wish we had another 15 minutes. We could really get into it. I do really appreciate your calling in. Thanks for your perspective. We're getting near the end of the hour, and we've got to do another break, and I've got to do a disclaimer. Thanks again for calling in and for all you do for Tucson.
Thank you very much. And, you know, had you been here in the mid-'80s when we were at our peak, you would have seen the difference. And unfortunately, you know, 1980s when we were going the other way. So, anyway, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Hank. This is Shelley Fishman, filling in for Bill Buckmaster. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you all next week.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Intelligent Talk 24/7. AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.